Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. Hi, everyone. We're going to talk about such an important topic for this year going into next year, and how do you set up your sales team for success? And I have the perfect expert, Erica Aces. She is head of origination for Truist, has had a long successful career at Citi, Wells, and PNC, and is certainly a great author. I highly recommend her book, We Got This, Setting Up for the Future Success, because I think it's a fabulous book. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. And this is really, I think, a timely topic that we're talking about, especially since next year is right around the corner. So let's talk about the first issue about setting up sales success for the team. And that all starts with, let's define what is sales success from your viewpoint?
Well, I think it's a great question. First of all, thank you for having me back. Mm-hmm. I greatly appreciate it. And happy holidays as well. Yeah. We are in the season. So to your point, I think it's really critical that success is really aligned to the organizational strategy, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't define success in a vacuum. You really have to understand your organizational vision and what strategies are you trying to deploy in the coming year or within your five-year strategy, let's say. And that really is going to come down to your KPIs, your key performance indicators, mm-hmm. and making sure that you're driving the outcomes that truly align to that strategy. So when I think about my sales team, as an example, one of the very first KPIs that I think about is around the client experience. That is first and foremost for me, because if you're not driving a strong client satisfaction type of environment, then what are we doing? Because we're here to serve a client, right? That's really critical. And then, of course, we all know that we have to have our KPIs tied to our revenue targets. Sure. And we have to have that tied to market penetration and our conversion rates and, you know, our cycle times. All of that is really critical. But when all of those KPIs kind of come in harmony and we're hitting the targets that are driving the overall strategy, to me, that's success. Because it's not about one isolated team. It's about your organization having the connectedness across each channel, right, to do what's right for our clients. That's success to me. I know a lot of organizations look at it more in silos. I think that's what differentiates my team, is that we don't. We're really looking at all of the needs for the client.
So does that imply, and I think it's a smart point, a lot of times historically the industry has been tied to just volume, and that doesn't really necessarily tie together with customer experience.
Right. So I think, you know, what can really differentiate you as a loan officer or as a successful sales team is kind of reframing what the client needs from you, if that makes sense. And so I don't believe in being transactional, but all about relationships. And when you think about long sustained relationships, you know, I think about, what does the client really need today? But maybe what will they need in 3 years, 5 years? You're not going to know that if you don't have a real relationship with your client, where you're building trust and you're truly being a financial advisor. Right? That's the differentiator in my mind. It can't just be about the immediate transaction.
Well, that's a good point. And that leads to the next question about the core competencies. I think that's not discussed enough within our industry. And I'm curious about your thoughts on what are the core competencies that is a successful sales team?
Well, I will tell you, I probably would start number one with discipline. Because
good point.
We can talk about core competencies all day, but if you don't have the discipline around them, then what have you really accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, to my earlier point, really building that trust and building the relationship and having a customer-centric mindset is really key. So that's number one. But if you are really great at building relationships, then what are some of the foundational things that are super critical? And, you know, the one that comes to mind first and foremost would be product knowledge. So how can you be a great financial advisor to clients if you don't really understand the products?
Yeah.
Right? So take the time to really understand them. And Pat, I'll tell you, a lot of times, and I would love your opinion in this too, I think loan officers can kind of get pigeonholed in just certain products, like their niche. And it's great to have a niche. And I'm not saying that's not a good thing, But it's really important to also have maybe a more expanded awareness of product sets, again, so that you are really applying a solution to your client's needs. I just think that's super critical.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let me let you respond to that because I'm very curious as to your thoughts.
Well, I agree with you completely, but it does tie together with the loan officer and the sales team understanding their local market. A lot of times what I see is there's a disconnect between what actually is driving that market's housing issues versus what the loan officer is comfortable selling. And that disconnect is why they are not successful. So I definitely agree with you that I find it interesting that at the local level, a lot of times the loan officers that I see they really don't know what the data trends are for their market. And so it's kind of hard to sell unless you know what's happening. What are your thoughts on that yourself?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's a very good point that you're making in terms of the local market, but then understanding how the local market needs may shift based on industry changes,
right?
So really being on top of the industry insights and utilizing technology, and yes, I said the word, utilizing and adopting technology to pull the data and understand what's going on in the local markets are really key. And kind of just being ahead. We have so many sources today that we didn't have in years past. Listening to you, Pat, your podcast, right? There are different podcasts out there.
Yes.
There's a lot of industry insights that can be leveraged to just have a better handle on what's happening in the local market and in the industry overall. Because as you think about building that trust, you have to understand what's happening in the industry and speak confidently about it, because that's what clients are really looking for. And so I would say that the other piece is having really effective communication. And I don't know if you've ever spoken to someone who, of course, I'm speaking a lot because I'm on your podcast, right? And we're having a conversation. But have you seen those situations where someone is talking the entire time because they've already made a conclusion before even really actively listening to the clients, their needs and their concerns? I think that active listening is a key competency of a loan officer, because the more that you're listening, the more you're able to zone in on not just their specific mortgage lending needs, but perhaps other needs that they have that would help you from a partnership perspective across your organizational landscape. So I think that that just gives you the ability to be a better financial advisor through listening. And then obviously there's networking and there's time management and making sure you're using your time effectively, and then thinking through your cross-functional skills too.
Now, you raised a really good point about the listening, and I definitely think you're correct. It's interesting when you look at top producers, they're actually better listeners than when you see the underperformers for a lot of different reasons. It's a confidence level, but you're exactly right. If you're not listening, you're not really hearing what exactly matters to the person you're trying to sell to. So talk about this onboarding process, and how do you get them to ramp up fast? I mean, that's really what the issue is. Whether you're experienced or new to our industry, what does the onboarding look like from your viewpoint?
So I will tell you, Pat, that I'm really passionate about training, knowledge sharing, right? And it drives me crazy when I see people hoarding information. I'm like, no, it makes us all better if we will just share and help each other win. And it certainly helps our overall industry. But I think it obviously is really critical to set the team up for success so that they can quickly contribute to the overall organizational goals. First of all, I mean, I'm going to talk about the easy stuff first. A couple of easy things that we have to think about is the pre-onboarding preparation. So before someone ever even starts, how are we informing them of key essential information, right? And then the second easy thing is making sure that they're set up from a technology perspective and they have the expectation around how the company expects technology to be used. And I'm talking about more so from an adoption standpoint, because I would venture to guess you see a wide variety of people who have always done it the way they've done it. They don't like to adopt technology, right? So I think having those expectations clearly set right up front is really important. But then you got to kind of really zone in to that more comprehensive orientation. And a piece of that is really understanding your organization. And I'm talking about a new hire, right? So let's make sure that you're really grounded in what our mission is, our North Star, to ensure that there's no white space. Mm-hmm. That is really critical. And then, you know, one of the things I try to do, Pat, is attend our onboarding training. So people see me, we're having a conversation, I'm giving them my perspective. I think that's really important. But then if we start to dig in a little bit more, obviously you're going to have the overall training around, you know, how we look at our products, mm-hmm. what are our products, technology, all of these sorts of things. But then the next piece really is, mm-hmm. how do you start to employ in real life what you've learned? And so thinking about even a two-track training program based on tenure of the teammate, right? So do we have a really good effective track for new loan officers who are coming into the business, mm-hmm. and then tenured loan officers as well, because the needs are different. They're mm-hmm. not the same. It's not a one size fits all. And so I just call that out because I know as an industry, we have dealt with a lot of regulatory change, meaning mm-hmm. that funding dollars usually go to that. And it's just very challenging to fund a lot of training, right? But there are mm-hmm. ways to do it and be very successful. Think about role playing. Are we doing that in training right up front? Or do we just talk about it?
Sure.
Do we actually yeah. see it? Do we help our sales team understand how to deal with objections right up front? And do we utilize folks in our organization that are highly skilled and do it well in those training courses from an onboarding standpoint? So I think there are a lot of things that we can do to help close the gap, but I think it has to be a full curriculum that kind of goes with the flow of understanding and how you ingest the information. And it can't be a week training and we expect them to go out into the field, even if you have a mentor, and drive success. It has to be a very comprehensive training program over a duration of time to where we're checking in and monitoring their performance and understanding where the gaps are to quickly close those so that they stay on a track for success. Obviously, you are the expert in this space, right? Wow. You've helped a lot of loan officers. Oh, yeah. And curious if that's resonating with you, because that's the way I think about it, is really investing the time for those true skills and the disciplines and time blocking and giving them all the tools to be successful, but then following up hand in hand to make sure that it's resonating, they're retaining it, and you're driving that behavior, reiterating it through their performance and feedback.
Well, you're on my favorite topic, obviously, because I spend a lot of time in that area because as an ex-head of sales, I recognize there's really two fundamental issues. That's the hiring side. We have to hire better, and then we have to develop. And I think, Erica, you're raising all the great points that we need to do as an industry and as lenders, is that we think sometimes that the compliance side, which is obviously important, but what's really has changed in selling is the prospecting side. And we don't spend enough time teaching people that are tenured. We assume they know how, and they really don't. And then, of course, we can obviously ramp up people faster that are new to our industry because of the technology component that has to be part of it. And so I think you're right on. And I do think that's really what distinguishes lenders is production per loan officer is a really key KPI because it tells you how development, how they've been developed. But when you look at the 50% of the loan officers in our industry, according to Ingenious, are only doing 8% of the business, there's a disconnect for sure. And that's certainly what's led to problems with production. But yes, I agree that training itself needs to be certainly revised. It can't be just, I'm going to tell you what to do. It has to be learning by doing. And I'm a big proponent of that. So I agree with you 100%. So talk about some more KPI side of it. I mean, I'm a big one for production per loan officer because I think it tells you a lot of what's going on versus the top originators that are dominating. And this other per grouping we seem to keep, which we don't want to, we shouldn't. So what are your thoughts
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, I agree. So scorecards are really mm-hmm. critical, Right. And those scorecard metrics, again, as I stated earlier, should be aligned to your strategy. And they should be defined in a way that really help you give feedback to the core competencies that we're talking about. So whether it is lead conversion, like if we just use that as an example, you can go deeper into the metrics that understand behaviors, right? But if you don't have like that type of key metric in your scorecard, and they can't see how they're comparing to others, one, they may not think is possible, they may think is really unrealistic. But when you stack rank and you have scorecards, you can see who's achieving, who's not. And that will go through all of the core metrics. But having a dynamic scorecard where you're able to drill in and really identify the problem areas is, to me, is what's most important, because then it's a different conversation around a plan to set the loan officer up for success. And I know a lot of lenders have scorecards, and that's nothing new. But is it dynamic to where you can really get down and understand the behaviors and compare across the rest of your team for a more productive conversation? So getting the brass tacks, right? And the point of scorecards is not to say, oh my God, Pat, you're doing horrible, right? It's to be able to recognize our top performers and celebrate those wins, but it's also to really dive into the behavior so that we can help others elevate who may not be there yet. That's the way I kind of think about it. But we all know what the KPIs are. We all look at some of the same common ones, but it's a matter of whether or not you can get to the behaviors.
Oh, no question about it. Well, you raised a question about technology, and that is one of the things that I definitely see over and over again, is that some of the tenured people won't make the adoption. It's part of the reason why I think we should bring a younger generation into our business. But talk about when you're onboarding a sales team and then technology users. Lenders have fabulous technology today. It's not like they don't, but the usage part is always the issue. How do you onboard for that?
So I think it's by doing, to the point that you made earlier, and really having that individual start to use the technology. So if you're sitting in a class and you're watching someone else navigate the technology,
It's not the
and it's
same.
something you're not really comfortable with, it can be very intimidating. You feel overwhelmed, and the immediate thing to do is to go to your comfort zone, right? And to maybe use Excel spreadsheets, which is not efficient. But
No.
people are doing what they're comfortable doing, but if you force that in the training to say, no, you're gonna follow along with me, you're going to do it, and they're in a safe environment, guess what? One, you're getting over that initial hurdle and they feel more comfortable using the technology. That's the piece you got to get over first. And then really helping them understand the what's on, what's in it for them, right? That's super critical. But then what's in it for the organization too? And technology is expensive. And so you have to have an expectation of technology to be utilized, because if we're not going to drive efficiency through technology and get the lift, guess what? That negates our opportunity to invest more heavily in technology. And let's face it, technology is shifting faster than we even would like to believe. And in order to stay on the cutting edge, you have to continue to invest, you have to continue to adopt, you have to continue to utilize. Or unfortunately, you will get left behind. You just will not be able to make it, because we're shifting so fast that I think the role of the loan officer and the role of a lot of people in fulfillment will change over a period of time. I can't tell you how quickly that will be, but I feel like things are moving faster than I would have thought 2 years ago. That's
So if you thought about, and I definitely see this certainly with loan officers, it does separate between who uses technology and who doesn't use technology. A simple thing like a Zoom thing, a Zoom, using Zoom, I see often over and over again, they can't even use that. And I find it like, well, how are you going to scale your prospecting if you're not able to use these tools? Is that your experience that the better loan officers already adapt to these things, whereas the other loan officers do not?
I may phrase it a little bit different. I think that the younger generation, because many of them, when they were little, had an iPad in their hand already, right? And so they are, it's very comfortable for them. They're quick. They're quick to adopt. It allows them to spend more time with clients. I think we do have some top performers who have been in the industry for years who take more time in the communication and building a rapport with the clients, and they've kind of worked around the technology. I do think that's going to continue to become obsolete to a degree because technology is going to drive so much from a CRM perspective, let's say, that you've really got to have a better balance as time goes on. But I think they've just figured out how to fit their skill set a bit, if that makes sense, and have, loan officer assistants do that piece for them if they're the top producers,
True.
to where they're just focusing more in on the communication and not so much in on the technology. But at the end of the day, if you're not willing to adopt and you're not willing to get in it
Right.
and learn it, there's going to come a we're all going to come to a head. Like, there's not going to be this option of the way we've always done it.
So when we are recruiting and onboarding someone too, are we looking at their technology side? In other words, their social selling expertise or any of those, do they become factors that, since that seems to be the future, that we need to have really originators that are comfortable with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of questions that are asked around what systems are you on today? Tell me about how you're structured. How do you run your business, right? And you can get a lot out of those conversations. I have seen people just be brutally honest and say, I don't like technology. And based on where we are and where we're going, that isn't a great answer because we know you're going to end up getting left behind. Or if you are going to spend so much time trying to tick and tie pieces that it will stall you from growing your business.
Good point. That also raises the issue that I think origination in the past used to be one by one. We could go out to a realtor's office one by one, talk to people and so forth. But certainly that isn't enough today because there is a component of the number component that we have to have more reach outs and how do we do all that? So do you see originators emphasizing the ability to present in front of a group? I'm curious on your thoughts on that.
I am seeing more and more where we are really trying to capitalize on larger events, right? And even you brought up the realtor. So instead of going to a realtor's office, may I have the opportunity to present to your entire office? And maybe there's 100 realtors, maybe there's 50, or maybe there's 300, just depending on size, and really maximizing those opportunities because time is precious. It's one of our biggest commodities. And so how do you really maximize those opportunities? And it's not just realtors, right? It's big events that you have to think about where clients, potential clients, are going to learn about financial wellness, let's say. Folks who are interested in building a small business, or maybe they're entrepreneurs, those folks need homes too, right? So you have to think about things from a different lens than just the traditional way that we've always done things. People are connecting in way more dynamic ways today than in times past. And so you just have to stay on the cutting edge and understand where you can get in, where's the value, and how you can maximize those opportunities.
Well, we've covered so much today. I want to certainly have to have you come back and talk some more about this, but why don't you share a couple of takeaways for our listeners today?
Yeah, sure. So what I just said, that just really hit home for me is think differently, think bigger,
I agree.
right? We've all got to think bigger and don't be afraid of technology. We hear so much in the headlines around AI and the fears of AI. And I personally tend to lean into the advantages of AI. So when you think about technology, how do you make it work for you to where you are adding greater value in our industry? Versus being afraid of it. You got to lean in. So those are a couple of points, Pat, that I would share. I love this industry. I love our sales team. I think that we are so impactful to our communities that we serve. It's just a great business to be in. And let's just think bigger.
Well, I agree with that. I think you hit the nail on the head for sure. Thinking bigger is the start of really having a vision, which is really individually and also corporately. So, great point. Well, I want to thank you, Erica, for sharing your thoughts. How can people get a hold of you if they would like to chat some more?
Yeah, great question, Pat, and thank you. I'm on LinkedIn under Erica Acey. Find me there. That is the best place, I think, to reach out. Would love to connect. And Pat, I just wanted to take a moment as we're ending out this year to say thank you for all that you've done for this industry. I know I've shared that with you before, but you have been a great partner and you care very deeply about our industry. And I don't think you always hear that or get the recognition. And so I wanted you to hear it from me. We appreciate all that you do. You have had strong discipline, and
Well,
we
thanks.
appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. I, again, like you, love the industry, and I think this is one of the best careers you can have in any industry. And so I'm always excited to try to bring new ideas to the industry because it's so, I think that's what keeps us interesting and brings in a different grouping of personnel, which is what we always need. So, and I want to thank you for saying that.
Absolutely.
That was very nice of you. And I want to thank our listeners for listening. And certainly we would highly suggest that you like our podcast and certainly share them with your colleagues. Thanks so much, Erica.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.